look at the tears roll down the street.
Sure to stay tuned. Sex Talk is coming up in just a minute, only here on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
Hello, my fabulous, fabulous radio friends, and welcome to the very first spring issue of... Is it spring? Spring issue of...
1999.
Sex Line. Our new name is now Sex Line, because we wanted a fresh new name to herald the millennium, and we wanted to combine our best features, sex and the telephone, into one new unified concept. And so thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, DJ Millennium 2000. And with me in the studio are our old favorites, Luke and producer Kate.
Hello.
Tonight's topics are multifaceted. We're going to be talking about a new and exciting breakthrough that I've had in my own personal self-pleasuring life.
And I, for one, am eager to hear.
And if we're lucky, producer Kate will share with us the mysterious sexual secrets of the
Swabians.
so welcome. If you want to call in, and we encourage you to do so, please call in at the sex line hotline, which is 268 WRCT. So let's get started.
Well, I'm eager to hear about your new sexual awakenings.
I second the motion.
Well, see, as you know, I've been a masturbator for many years, and I've enjoyed this.
Haven't we all?
I enjoy this form of self pleasure. Even though I have been in a stable, happy relationship with another person, I still find time in my busy schedule to masturbate and to have solo sex on occasion. I think that I think there's room in everyone's life for a little bit of, you know, all kinds of sexual interaction. And so a friend turned me on to this website, and it's called the Blowfish Catalog, or maybe just Blowfish, I don't know.
I'm familiar with it.
It's at triple dub, that's www.blowfish.com, and if you have internet access, and who doesn't?
That I'm actually personally acquainted with some of the folks who run the Blowfish site.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
So they're in San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken.
They are indeed.
And they are you're acquainted with them because do they have some involvement in the leather community?
Yes, indeed.
Interesting. So they're a fine bunch of people, I'm sure, and they have a fascinating selection of products. I was browsing through their catalog, and the thing that caught my eye was, correct me, I don't know exactly what these are called, intermuscular stimulators.
I believe that's correct.
So,
yes.
So these are various sex toys that that actually run an electrical current through some part of your body and make it twitch or convulse involuntarily.
Wow.
So I was intrigued by this. There was a whole array of products from. I'm not even sure where to start. There were there were sort of intramuscular electrically stimulating butt plugs and scrotum harnesses and penis rings and penis catheters, electrically active alligator clips that you could attach, I guess, to certain places, and along with all these attachments, all these peripherals, the thing supplying the power were these little signal generator boxes, and interestingly, you could buy either the signal generator box designed for pleasure or the one designed for pain.
Was there a variable variety so that you could choose?
Well, actually, that's what's so fascinating about these things. And I guess I should go into it in more detail. I should actually first, we have to issue the standard warning. Whenever you're involved in an electrical play like this, you have to be very careful to not pass any kind of current across your heart. This is the one thing that your heart's very sensitive to. You know, this kind of thing, and you could easily, you know, kill yourself. So, yes. So their rule is to have all electricity happen below the waist, you know, and then that's sort of a safe rule of thumb. But certainly, you know, never.
Unfortunately, there are many sensitive body parts below the waist.
Yeah, they're sort of enough to keep me occupied for the time being. But you know, the thing is, the one thing you're tempted to do is attach like an electrode to each nipple, and that's kind of a mistake because there's this danger. Sort of heart problems. Although, you know, see, I had this weird flashback to fifth grade. My science teacher made us all stand in a circle holding hands while he connected the people, like the people on the far end of the circle, he connected to a handheld generator, which he then cranked, which I found extremely, I mean, he could have, like, killed our entire fifth grade class in one,
It
you
depends
know.
On what sort of energy he was generating. So I've done things with the violet wand passing a charge along a chain of people. And that is safe because the violet wand produces static electricity, which is only on the surface of the body.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Well, I mean, this was, I think, some kind of hand crank generator. I mean, I think it was real current. But
it doesn't have anything to do with the magnitude of the current or the energy that you're generating?
Yes, that certainly has an effect, too.
So, I mean, the handheld generator may not be able to really do that much, per se, as opposed to your little electric.
So, no. Well, actually, I mean, the other nice thing is the electric thing is actually low powered. It runs on a 9-volt battery, although, so that's what actually made me feel most comfortable about
it.
It's
portable.
That, you know, how, it's portable, and also, I mean, I could be wearing it right now, for example, and you could be controlling me, but also, I was like, you know, how bad can a 9-volt battery be? I'm obviously, except for this heart thing, I'm obviously not going to, like, you know, it's not like sticking your penis into a wall socket or something. I mean, the power level is within some kind of reasonable
Is there a limit. Remote?
But, well, okay, so there's not quite a remote. There is a little control console, though. So, actually, I bought the battery eliminator because I'm very... So you can actually get a little power supply that plugs into the wall and plugs into your control console. The most interesting part, I think, is this control console that you get. I got the signal generator designed for pleasure, and it has about 6 knobs on it. So there are 2 separately controllable signal supplies coming out of this thing. So you could have one kind of signal being applied to your scrotum and a completely different signal being applied to your anus or whatever. Or, you know, if you have a partner, you could be applying one signal to one person or one to another person. Or you could even be starting the circuit with one person and terminating the circuit with the other person, and then so the current would have to flow through your genitals or whatever part is touching. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities.
So for example, for a couple having penis-vagina sex, you might use 2 anal probes to make the connection?
For example, or you might put the scrotum strap on the man, and then and put the anal probe in the woman, or attach it to some kind of, I don't know, clip it onto something. I don't know exactly what else you would do on the woman's side.
There is the vaginal shield that also sold.
Oh, interesting. This is
another of the attachments, like the cock ring or anal probe.
So the way these knobs work is that you have one knob. So very roughly speaking, you have this kind of on-off signal happening. It's like N seconds on and N seconds off. So you can either be like on, off, or very fast, you know, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. And so you can imagine the sort of variety of stimulation you can get from that. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, each of those ons, you can adjust the frequency of the wave happening during the on. So it can be like a very high kind of buzz while it's on, or these like in very slow kind of clicks, like click 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 click, or a more smooth kind of intermediate sensation. And so if you imagine sort of a square wave, but instead of being square, the actual line is actually vibrating at a pretty high frequency. And so by adjusting those two things, you get a pretty pretty wide range of sensations. And then furthermore, finally, of course, there's the intensity knob, which actually adjusts the amplitude of the whole thing. And so it was, I could set it, when I was using it, I could set it from basically undetectable to actually unbearable. I couldn't quite get it up to maximum because it hurt. I mean, it was like when the scroll strap was on, it was like, you know, being hit in the testicles. Not very hard, but I mean, I don't ever hardly get hit in the testicles, I don't think. And so it was uncomfortable. Although interesting, as you know, with pain play, when you acclimate yourself to a certain amount of pain, you can sort of accept a little bit more and a little bit more, and it's actually sort of an interesting sensation. And so by playing with this thing, and I was connected to it for about an hour, I was getting some pretty strong kind of sensations near the end.
So tell us, was it fun?
Well, it was fun. So the Blowfish page describes it as sort of the most life-altering product you'll ever buy, you know, and you'll never return to any other conventional form of sex. I would have to step back from that a little bit. I don't think it was that incredible. It was definitely novel, and I'm definitely going to try it again. I'll probably, you know, I might even try it tonight. You know, I was actually, I found it very arousing and very interesting. It sort of left me. Here's the key, I think. It actually aroused me incredibly to the point where I got sort of incredibly horny. And what I actually did was I then like grabbed my boyfriend and forced him to service me at that point because I needed. So it provided an exciting kind of, you might call it foreplay or introduction to sort of a sexual act. But as sort of a complete sexual encounter, I found it a little bit lacking.
Were you still attached to this while
you were No, I actually removed all the electrodes, but I mean, we probably will try various kinds of experiments in the future. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. There's the sensations you get kind of depend on how good your conductivity is. I actually found that dipping everything in salt water, this actually suggests doing this in salt water, and then even adding a little pinch of salt to your lube actually increases the conductivity quite a bit, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, salt ions carry current or whatever. I don't know. You would know. So in Blowfish's defense, the product that they suggested getting, which is like the most mind-blowing orgasmic thing, I was actually too afraid to get. Their like ideal setup was for you to have an electric butt plug in your rectum and an electric catheter inserted into your penis. And I couldn't quite go the catheter route. I found it kind of.
I'm pretty nervous about putting anything in my urethra myself.
I almost was going to try it, and then I got sort of turned off by their warnings. You have to be sort of careful. You have to sort of disinfect everything and, you know, make sure that no bacteria gets in your urethra and that can cause a bladder infection, which are sort of annoying to treat. And I thought, you know, I don't want this kind of hassle. And so I just kind of blew off the catheter idea. So I have no idea. I can't really say how good that might feel.
So what attachments have you been using?
So I have the electric butt plug, and it's ironic. I actually bought a butt plug that was probably too small for me, and a penis ring that was probably too big for me. It's important not to boast about your penis size when buying these things, but you should buy the penis ring that's right for you. Because when I was erect, it was actually snug, but if I went somewhat soft, it would kind of slip, and then it's not making good contact. And what can happen is it actually starts to sort of shock you with these little sparks. You really want full firm contact rather than kind of intermittent contact. So that was kind of disappointing a little bit. Although maybe I can, you know, who knows, line it with tinfoil or something. So anyway, so I have the butt plug, the sort of cock ring, I guess, and this little kind of multi-purpose strap, which kind of a Velcro strap that's electrically conductive, if you will. So, or not really Velcro, sort of stretchy, whatever. And so, you know, you can wrap that around your scrotum. You can wrap that around your penis and scrotum, or just your penis, or sort of, you know, wrap it anywhere. I think that's it. I have the interesting thing about these items is that the butt plug and the penis ring are both, they both have two terminals on them, or two kind of contact areas, I guess.
Yeah.
And so you can either use them as a way to form a complete circuit, like, you know, the current would go out the butt plug, out one side of the butt plug through your sort of butt muscles and then back in. So so that can be by itself, or you can turn it into a kind of unipolar thing where you have basically short the two, in some sense, short the two butt plug poles together. So the butt plug acts as one electrical pole, and then it has to go through your body, you know, and out some other port. So you could set up the circuit either. So there's lots of combinations. So, for example, you could either set up the circuit so that, you know, the current is going through the butt plug and then through your body and out the penis ring.
Yeah,
that's one way to do it. Or I can, since I have two circuits, I can actually put them on two separately controllable circuits. I can have the penis ring be stimulated one way, independently, and then the sort of butt plug be stimulated another way. And then sort of, and then the scrotum strap can kind of be connected to one or the other circuit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's all kinds of options.
So what does it feel like?
That's what I'm curious about. Like, exactly what sort of muscular sensations are we talking about here?
It's not a lot different in my mind. Let's see. It's not a lot different from the feeling of a vibrator, I don't think. It's a little strange. I actually suspect the butt plug, for example, I suspect that there are muscles in there that you can't quite consciously control. In fact, I know there are. But I'm sure they're being stimulated by this electricity, and so when you get the amplitude up high enough, this plug starts actually sort of pumping, you know, in your butt, sort of as if someone was sort of penetrating you, having anal sex. So you're having like this automatic robotic thing penetrating you basically, rhythmically according to the rhythm that you set. So that's actually a pretty amusing feeling. It's not a hard thrusting, because it's really sort of a, you know, it's your muscles tightening and then relaxing and tightening and then relaxing, but there is some motion there, and it is sort of amusing because it's happening obviously voluntarily or involuntarily. The penis ring is sort of similar, I guess. I mean, you know, again, it, I guess, the penis and scrotum strap in combination was sort of interesting. And I guess there's, again, some kind of involuntary muscles there. I'm not sure if they're totally involuntary, but, you know, every time it would pulse, the kind of penis and scrotum would sort of tighten up and then relax and then tighten up and then relax. And it again had sort of a vibrating feeling, but it was just sort of amusing, I guess, more than anything else, to see it kind of like involuntarily kind of pulsing in accord to this like robotic device. So what can I say? I mean, you know.
So it's not really truly like a spasm sort of thing. It's just. Are there residual effects from it? So that after you charge, like you just.
Franken penis.
You mean like after you're done using the unit, are you
like, after you had turned it up to its maximum power, or the maximum power that you could that comfortably endure, after having gone through a cycle of these oscillations and energy and it quieting down again, would you feel were the neural connections
years
affected?
Younger? The only kind of strange physiological effect that I remember was I could definitely fatigue my muscles to the point where if I turned the frequency up too high or I turned the amplitude up too high, it wasn't contracting really strongly. It was like as if, you know, the muscle just couldn't
relax.
It was, you know, as if I wasn't getting enough time to rest and whatever muscles do, you know, recharge and get enough energy for the next contraction. So that was kind of interesting, sort of going down my limits. But I don't, and I guess it got a little, it could get a little irritating if you set the amplitude up too high and sort of left it too long. It would sort of start to annoy you. Actually, the Blowfish people tell some story of somebody that left theirs on all night and fell asleep with it sort of punching in, and so they claim that he had suffered some sort of mild damage, but recovered. You know, some sort of like, you know, sort of irritation, or he described it as I think a Texas sunburn or something. I don't know exactly what Texas has to do with it, but
it's not like analogous to like an arrhythmia, where all of a sudden your muscles just start to have like an irregular pattern.
Oh, right. No, I didn't. Yeah, nothing like that. I mean, you know, indeed, spasm was probably the wrong word. I didn't go into any kind of convulsions in areas. Once again, it would be a big mistake. I mean, that's exactly what happens with your heart, right? I mean, you throw off the regulator, and then you know, you're screwed. But nothing at all.
That didn't have like your penis twitching randomly, crawling or anything.
No tingling or
achieving sentience or none of those things happen. So,
I'm fascinated to hear of this. This is a sex toy that I've never played with.
It definitely has. I mean, I'm actually wondering if there are other attachments I can get. I'm actually curious about more options. I gripped the butt plug with one hand, and it made it, you know, it very tingling sensation in my hand and arm as it sort of involuntarily gripped. And you can do that so long as you're only traveling up one arm. But I'm wondering what other areas of sexual electrical stimulation I can explore.
To mummify yourself with tinfoil?
So that's interesting. So what would happen then?
Well, okay, so it'd probably be unsafe to do the whole body. I have no idea what would happen actually, but you could imagine making a very large contact, like an aluminum foil glove.
Right. Are you imagining two kind of, or when you were like covering the body, could you like cover one leg with, cover both legs with aluminum foil, but have it be a separate, two separate, plates, and then have the current pass between them?
That's kind of the way my speculations are going. I'm speculating wildly here without any real data.
So, or sort of construct two aluminum garters, one around each leg, so it has to traverse through your torso. Or lower torso.
Right. You know, they say that you can use that. There are these medical devices that they sell for muscular stimulation.
TENS units?
Sorry? TENS. Yeah, that sounds right.
TENS. It's usually in all caps, and I don't know what it stands for.
I don't think I know. I bet the S is stimulator.
I think it's something electrical neural stimulator.
It's interesting. So I guess you can co-opt these devices and attach, you know, I suppose they're used either for kind of passive exercise or for, you know, I don't know what, paralyzed people or whatever who need to maintain muscle tone. But I guess you can co-opt one of these units and put the pads on your genitals. I see no problem with that. The one problem with these things that I bought from the Blowfish catalog is they are sort of pricey, which is disappointing. Mm-hmm. I think, the signal generator itself was about $100. I don't remember exactly what it was.
And
I think the butt plug was close to $100, which is, you know, sex toys are already expensive. I mean, dildos are like already.
Yeah. And you probably don't want to be using condoms on the butt plug, so it's not so easy to share.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly the problem. There's I don't know if they've solved the kind of, you know, electrically conductive condom problem, but I mean, you know, you can certainly, I mean, it's certainly, if you're going to share, I think, you know, bleach solution or betadine or whatever.
Let me make my own little plug here. Foreplay adult toy cleanser. It's a reasonably concentrated solution of non-oxynol 9, so good at killing various nasties.
And you can get this. Where do you get this?
You can get it at from the Blowfish, from Good Vibrations, and even from local the sex stores. I saw it on sale in the new adult merchandise mart up on McKnight Road.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a new mall.
Should you happen to drive on McKnight Road, you'll certainly notice it. It's got a lot of neon.
Is it near the exit at that end of the...
Yes.
I was told there was a new one near the church, I think. Yeah. It's up there. I don't
know. Near the church, that's excellent zoning. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone planned that.
Yes. No. Well, so I'd be happy to get... I thank you for the sex toy review.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Cutting edge.
I'm very excited about it myself. I can't wait to make another foray into this world, and give you another report.
I'm sure I'm speaking for all our listeners when I say we look forward to hearing more.
Yes.
I'm happy to speak about my own sex toy experiences.
I just want to interrupt you and say phone number. It's 268-WRCT. Please call in if you have a question or comment.
Oh, certainly.
268-WRCT. Proceed.
I'm not quite sure where to start. Well, let me talk a little more about this adult merchandise mart, just because I think it's really impressive how over the past 10 years or so, the average sex shop has gotten a lot less sleazy.
I've recently received mail from someone who was giving me advice on sex shops, and she was complaining a little bit about the proliferation of toys advertising things like cherry popping and sort of rape fantasies that she didn't really like. She thought that they were becoming more popular now, and that it was becoming less appealing to her because of that.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, I think you're both addressing sort of different issues. I mean,
maybe.
Ralph's talking about just kind of just the general sleaze quality of being in a seedy area, a bunch of men in trench coats going there to like masturbate in film booths, and you know, possibly a criminal element.
But
you're sort of addressing sort of
undesirable fluids on the floor and whatever.
Oh, I see.
And the ones that maybe it's just a difference in the ones that I've looked at, but it seems like it's much, much easier to find places that are fairly clean and well lit, selling not completely tacky stuff, including a fair amount of stuff oriented towards women, a fair amount of BDSM stuff and so forth. And yes, there's a fair amount of tacky stuff, like tacky laundry and so forth, but not really more so than, say, Fredericks of Hollywood. Yes, it's not out of the woods yet, but I think it's definitely a step up. Now, I can't really speak to what your friend said, but I'm curious about
it. It was only an opinion. I certainly, because I'm only at the beginner level, so I've just started taking an interest in the market, and she was giving me some advice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only a secondhand opinion that I read somewhere, but it was definitely an observation that I took note of. So.
Well, what have you found fun at the beginner level?
I haven't yet. We're still shopping, actually. And probably we'll end up getting something from the web because there seems to be a nice selection there. A lot of choices.
There is indeed.
So.
I mean, you do need to find sort of a reputable vendor, but there is something nice about mail order and the web in general because of the
discretion.
Yes. Easy mail order on the web has made it easier to shop for sex toys for many shy people.
So as a beginner, what items are you looking for?
Primarily a dildo, I think, which For some reason, I feel like I should want, like society is telling me that I should want a vibrator. Like, that seems to be the most popular thing, is these sort of external stimuli, sort of other things that move.
Mm-hmm. But you don't.
It just doesn't sound that appealing to me.
Well, so
I
mean,
maybe I should try.
My impression about the reason vibrators were popular was exactly because there was no natural analog to them, that they provided intense stimulation in a way that you couldn't get from a penis or from a finger or whatever, from some other source. And so that's why, you know...
Maybe. I don't know. It just doesn't sound appealing. But I can definitely see having use for a dildo. I mean, that seems like something that I can definitely...
It doesn't sound appealing. I mean, motorcycle riding, horseback riding, none of those things have ever... The sort of vibration from certain activities hasn't been sort of pleasurable?
Yeah, I guess it sort of has, but I just didn't think about it being that intense, really.
Well, like, I can remember once, after I'd started getting into sex toys, I was flying on this little puddle jumper plane on a short trip, commuter trip, and the plane was... shaking really hard, vigorously enough that it was too loud for me to listen to my Walkman. And I was trying to sexualize that vibration and enjoy it sexually. And I had trouble.
I can just imagine that sort of NTSB investigators going over your plane crash and claiming that you had an orgasm at the moment of the crash. That being like, you know, part of the mystery.
Wow.
Anyway.
I'm just at preliminary stages. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these huge magnum-sized things, just also very unappealing.
So I'm curious about two things. And they're sort of unrelated questions. One is, are you going for abstract or lifelike in terms of the dildo's representation?
Lifelike, I think.
So you want sort of penis-like? I mean, or actually molded from somebody's penis, theoretically, or just...
No, not necessarily. But it is something that I plan on using not just alone, but with someone else. So.
Oh, really? So, yeah. So if you're using it with the context of a partner, the question is why, I guess. I mean, is that partner not to...
Curiosity, I think.
Interesting. So is your partner also potentially interested in this kind of thing?
Maybe.
Or using it on you? Using it on him or herself?
He's interested in using it on me right now. But...
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Are there any sex toys that he wants to attach to his own genitalia?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Maybe.
I'd like to ask him... are you toying with the idea of a harness?
No. I can't say that's a
harness. So who would be wearing this harness? You're talking about the...
I have met male friends who use dildo harnesses with their lovers because you never have to worry about going soft. And it's kind of cool to be able to keep going all night if you want to.
No,
this is a curious thing, which I'm not really sure I understand why, but my partner's actually very good at that. Like, this is not an issue where, like, he feels like he's not satisfying me or, you know, he's not lasting as long as I'd like him to, because
he can,
he's just fine, like, better than he needs to be.
Must be Italian.
But he's just really curious about what it's like to, just be a bystander and watch.
Interesting. Watch while you please yourself?
Well, or while he's, doing something that he's not deriving any real physical pleasure from, but just...
That is interesting.
So maybe there's a certain control element there for him also. I don't know.
I don't know if it's control exactly. I mean, there's a lot of sexual scenarios where I like, ministering to my partner without getting any sort of direct physical stimulation. Like.
Yeah, or sacrificial maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe sort of like performing oral sex on someone.
Right. That sounds like a classic sort of example of that. I mean, for me, sometimes it's there's the degrading element too. It's like, you know, I am your sex slave. It always turns out to being, for me, it always boils down to being degraded one way or another.
Unless you've been playing with the electrical toy for a while and you just can't stand it anymore.
Well, that's right. But you know, I often, you know, like to at least imagine the role of just being the unwilling sort of sex slave whose job it is to please my master.
So some of the ways I imagine using dildos, or one of the particular ways that fascinates me is the idea of the thigh harness, for the purpose of doing things that aren't physically possible with my penis in its normal position.
Excellent.
Wow. So how does that help me understand that?
So the thigh harness is a dildo harness that straps to your thigh. So for all those dry humping games with your leg between your partners, now it doesn't have to just be dry humping.
That's curious. I wasn't aware of that.
Interesting. And so I'm not even, this is something that heterosexuals do, I assume. So the purpose is what? You get better leverage because you can use your powerful leg muscles
you get the fun of the different positions. And
I see.
There are certain geometry constraints of the current position that you can sort of
fascinating.
Get around.
It seems like also in the kind of multi-partner case, that would be interesting too. If you had various harnesses attached, you could actually please several women or partners of any gender simultaneously.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
you could get
or use a dildo harness for double penetration.
Right.
Uh-huh.
All right. Interesting.
Now that's something I've never tried.
Mm-hmm. Nor I.
I mean, I've actually wanted to. It's never been convenient. I've actually wanted to give someone a blowjob meanwhile being sort of penetrated anally, but the circumstance sort of never came up somehow. I don't know why. You need more than one person. You need to have a threesome situation, which is always sometimes hard to come by, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. And there can be emotional issues associated there.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So
I've often wanted to do it to my partner, but not to myself.
Do which thing?
The dual penetration. So be having normal or straight sex with that person and then using an anal
probe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On him?
On him.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Since it supposedly heightens the pleasure, I guess.
So
I'm told.
It's. I think it does.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Yeah.
It gets my vote.
So,
Corey, a dildo might help hint at that fantasy of yours.
Especially an active dildo as one of these electrical dildos.
Yes.
You know, and I did actually do that briefly, sort of. I did sort of suck on my partner's penis while being auto-penetrated by this thing, but... I think I really do have to do it with two real men, though, because there's other aspects that element to it. And there's the whole kind of, you know, Star Trek trio thing. You know, I could be, you know, Bones in between Spock and Kirk, right? I mean, that would fulfill a lifelong dream. But, you know, it has to be the right person. As you point out, you have to find someone who's, you know, there's all these
complications
and,
So mutual oral sex would not qualify in that case?
Mutual oral, so just a sort of the 69 kind of thing?
Yeah.
Actually, so if given enough partners, I would actually prefer to be sort of stimulated in every way possible. Maybe if there were sort of three people, Yeah, this is going to turn into a Guinness World Record at some point.
Don't you need like attention to your nipples and your back and so forth as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, there you go. So, indeed, it would be interesting to have like a whole team of sexual surgeons.
Cast. That must be what it's like in countries where it's okay to have, you know, polygamy is popular.
Or you know, Utah maybe? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. They seem to be a little bit more like separate relationships with each partner.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe some of the Muslim countries.
Well, yeah, maybe I should perform some kind of experiment. I wonder if I could, how many, you know, as some kind of research project, provide me with the ultimate orgasm and assemble a team of sexual experts each of which was an expert in one area.
I think it would be amusing to write the grant proposal for that research.
Yeah, definitely.
If you manage to do this, please do tell us about this on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would videotape it and sell it as an amateur video, I think. Mm-hmm. So
have you bought any new sex toys recently?
Let's see. Well, we bought a feather at this McKnight Road Neon Sex Emporium.
Feather?
Yes.
I have to just ask you, like, McKnight Road is such a nightmare. Like, do you live there or something? Like, why does anybody... The traffic is just so difficult to navigate.
We were visiting friends there.
This particular one, though, is not so far.
Yes, you don't have to go all the way
up
McKnight Road.
Oh, okay.
Through all the lights and the traffic.
So anyways, okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. You bought some kind of sexually enhanced feather.
Well, it's kind of the fluffy feather on a long stick for the purposes of texture play. I think the sex toy we bought before that was a very soft nylon flogger. So this is like nylon cord that's been combed out and frayed, so it's just individual threads, and it's very, very soft. And that works very well for my significant other.
So this long, fluffy feather, is this like those pencils that we had in elementary school? With the big furry head that you sort of rub between your hands and it would just fray all over the place?
Yeah, I was going to say my mother has a pen that has some kind of like absurd fluffy bird feather.
Yeah, kind of like a big absurd quill pen.
This isn't a quill. This isn't. I mean, that's some kind of straight planar feather. Where this is some kind of fluffy,
yes,
very floppy feather.
This is a fluffy a plume, if you like.
Oh, I see.
And she likes the feel of it moving across her body.
So if I recall correctly, your partner's pretty sensitive to this kind of thing. Like, you can make her ticklish just by thinking about tickling her in some sense. Is that right? I mean, that's what I remember.
More or less. Certainly, I can tickle her across the room. I can gesture and kind of stroking motion and cause her to get aroused. Yes, very, very sensitive.
That's another area where I think I'm somehow freakish and abnormal for a woman, because this sort of delicate, like, soft, really feathery touching just irritates me.
It irritates me also.
I don't care
for it much myself.
My partner loves it, and I can't even do it to him because it drives me crazy. I don't know why. It's just... Mm-hmm. There's something in like that intermediary touching where they're not actually touching someone. It's just,
You can't even do it as a public service.
No.
Really?
Not without getting the willies. Not without just, oof.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
Well, but this might be, this might be cause to build yet another mechanical device.
Maybe a feather would be a good thing for you if you liked it.
True.
So. Wow. I definitely like toys. I've sometimes hypothesized that part of the reason I enjoy BDSM as much as I do is just that it provides so much opportunity to play with toys in a sexual context.
The other thing that I found interesting about BDSM was, I haven't really iterated this thought over all possible subcultures, but it seemed like in BDSM it was pretty easy or straightforward to sort of interact in a sort of sexual or a quasi-sexual way with a bunch of different people. Like, for example, this thing we were just talking about, like, where am I going to find three men to, like, service me simultaneously? Actually, I find that problem is actually kind of challenging. Or, you know, three men who are not completely frightening in some key way, right?
Yeah. It's,
but in the BDSM community, I think that's more natural. You know, you'd ask your friends and you'd kind of negotiate kind of sex scene, and it would just happen. Am I right? Am I off base here?
It depends very much upon the scene and the particular subculture and area that habits. Then I could imagine it being possible, but it would depend a lot on what sort of things he wanted to do. So, for example, when I was in the Bay Area, I ended up doing the various forms of the floggings and pain play and so forth with a wide variety of people. But I wouldn't have had sex with nearly as great a variety. And I think that if I'd been trying to, I would have found it somewhat harder. So it's possible then, but by no means guaranteed. But that's an interesting point.
So I'm trying to understand what you said. So the people that you did interact with, the pain play, is that what you said?
Yes. Floggings, biting, that sort of thing.
You said you would not have had sex with them, or it would have been harder to have sex with them, or you would not, they're
both,
not the kind of people you would sort of select to be sex partners?
That I found it easier to do pain play with people than, easier for me to be willing to do pain play than to have sex with people. I think they also would have been more outgoing about pain play or whatnot than about sex.
I see. Well, we've had, I think we're just about out of time. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, and I want to thank Luke and producer Kate for joining us tonight, joining me, DJ Millennium.
A delightful, scintillating conversation. Thank you.
Please join us every week, Tuesdays at 11, or actually enjoy the entire Star Line lineup, starting with, I forget what it is, Something, and then Sports Line, and then Sex Line here on WRCT. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Good night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 4th Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.